This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Iraqi workers in the turbulent Middle East. A Building Bridges exclusive interview with Hassan Juma Awad, founding member of and president of the Iraqi Federation of Oil Unions.
Hassan Juma Awad was an opponent of the Saddam Hussein regime, a human rights activist, and a unionist who was imprisoned by the Ba'athist regime three times for subversive activity. Now, under the current Maliki government, Hassan and many others continue to face threats of jail and heavy fines for threatening the economic interest and stability of the state, for challenging the ill treatment of oil workers and the giveaway of Iraqi oil to private companies. Unions played a vital role in the Arab Spring rebellions in Tunisia and Egypt, as are the Iraqi workers who are also challenging their government. Hassan Juma Awad is a leading force in the movement of Iraqi workers, part of a broad mobilization of civil society organizations struggling to establish a democratic, non-sectarian society in Iraq after the war with internationally accepted labor rights.
The Iraqi Federation of Oil Unions faces many of the same issues we face in the U.S. Struggles against privatization, for the rights to organize unions without retribution and with legal protection, and for the active role of unions in securing the interests of working people. Now we hear Hassan Juma Awad's report on the lives of Iraqi workers today, their fight for labor rights, and the place of Iraq in the broader turmoil of the Middle East.
First, I'm very pleased to welcome you to New York.
وأنا أسعد أن ألتقي بكم قادة النقابات الأمريكية في نيويورك.
I'm also extremely pleased to be in New York and to meet with union and labor leaders in the United States.
And I'm interested in your own evolution, your involvement in labor organizing and becoming a formidable leader of the most important sector of the working class in Iraq. If you could talk a little bit about your own involvement, the how and the why you have committed so much energy and how you became involved.
الحقيقة أنا يعني بديت بممارسة العمل النقابي بعد دخول قوات الاحتلال بال 2003.
My activism in the labor struggle began after the invasion and occupation in 2003. The country was witnessing incredible chaos, and there were very powerful interests that did not want the oil sector to improve and to move forward. Of course, I wasn't on my own. There were many of us, many excellent activists and organizers who became involved at the same time. Furthermore, there was quite a general understanding and perception that the main motive for the United States' entry into Iraq revolved around oil interests. And so we felt we needed to get organized to protect our country's resources, and we saw that the best way to do this was through labor activism. And so you won't be surprised to know that some of our initial struggles were ones in which we had to confront the U.S. military, the occupation forces. That entire period of 2003 to 2005 was one of great instability, especially compared to what we have today. And in addition, in those early years, our activism as labor organizers was not one for which we were prosecuted. It was only in 2007, approximately, when the state began to take a position specifically against union activism and labor organization. Before 2007, indeed, we worked as unionists quite openly and without much opposition from the state. Actually, between 2005 and 2007, we organized four public, advertised, and known about conferences. They were specifically about the issue of privatization. We tried to get as much information and discussion going about the issue of privatization and its effect on the society and on the economy. And then, of course, in 2007 was the turning point. There began to be decrees calling on people not to cooperate with the unions, not to work with the unions, because these were not legal organizations.
If perhaps he can summarize the level of stability or instability is in Iraq and how he assesses the issues and the problems.
طبيعي الوضع بالعراق وضع غير مستقر من الناحية الأمنية لأن هنالك كثير من التفجيرات تحصل في مناطقنا الآمنة والمناطق.
The situation in Iraq now is not stable. We still have bombings that happen on a regular basis, even in areas that are considered safe, especially in residential areas as well. We still have organizations like Al-Qaeda which continue to try to destroy the social fabric of Iraq to pit members of the society against one another. Furthermore, we don't have political stability. The security services and apparatuses that were supposed to take over ensuring such a form of security have not been prepared and are not equipped to ensure safety and stability for the Iraqi citizen. The invasion and occupation by the United States and the U.S. military is the primary reason for the instability we now face in Iraq.
There is a perception here that the instability in Iraq is growing. Is this due to internal forces within Iraq, or are there forces from other countries outside of Iraq which are contributing to this?
لا أكيد هنالك دور للأطراف الخارجية في العراق لأنه لا كثير من دول الجوار لا تريد أن يكون هنالك استقرار.
External powers and entities have a very major role that they play in the instability facing Iraq. In particular, we can also talk about the neighboring countries, some of which don't have an interest in Iraqi stability. And here the issue is one of political interests that certain parties in neighboring countries have in ensuring that Iraq does not enjoy stability because such a strong Iraq is not in their political interest. Furthermore, now that we have a constitution in Iraq and the promise of regular elections, such a democratic system or the possibility of such a democratic system is actually a threat to non-democratic regimes nearby.
There's certainly an understanding or belief that there has been a carving up of the oil sector by various countries. I wonder if we can just situate ourselves with that, and then we'll get into the work and the demands and concerns of the union in that sector.
لا لا اولا قطاع النفط في العراق لم يقسم لحد الان لا يزال تحت سيطره الدوله العراقيه وقطاع النفط كما تعلمون هو متمركز في المناطق الجنوبيه من العراق.
Most of the oil sector is still largely centralized, especially since the major bulk of the oil fields in the country are in the south. What we do have in terms of division is that now we have oil companies that have received contracts and these contracts are divided into south, center, and north. And so we have different corporations in each of these three areas. And certainly one of the major changes has been that the goal of increasing oil production in Iraq has now been formulated by the state as a function of contracts with external corporations. But unfortunately, this method of trying to increase oil production by outsourcing oil production and extraction to multinational corporations has acted against the interests of Iraqi workers and the Iraqi population in terms of benefiting from their country's oil wealth. But the Iraqi state still controls the actual export of the oil, particularly through the docks, the ports.
Which countries got the oil concessions after the U.S. terminated hostilities? And production, has it been increasing? Is it up to the same levels as it was before the U.S. invasion?
الشركات التي حصلت على عقود تراخيص هي شركات نفطية عالمية وهي شركة بي بي وشركة أكس موبيل وشركة.
The corporations that got concessions were BP and ExxonMobil and Shell and Mitsubishi and the Italian company Eni as well as a Chinese company. As for the level of production, we don't perceive an increase in the oil production, and I think part of the reason for this is actually technical. Under the brutal dictator Saddam Hussein, Iraq produced around 4 million barrels of oil per day, and we haven't attained that level of production since then. The infrastructure for the extraction of oil, much of it was destroyed and much of it has not been rebuilt. And now we face a very large challenge of rebuilding this infrastructure so that Iraq can go back to the levels of production that it once witnessed.
Are these multinational companies not making enough investment in the infrastructure, or is the job so massive that it'll just take time?
لا أخو أكيد يعني هو ليس الدمار، هو العراق لديه منفذ واحد للتصدير، وأنت إذا تريد أن تصد تزيد زيادة.
It's not just the destruction, you know. Iraq has only one port for the export of this oil, and to increase the production, you also need to increase the capacity to export this oil. Furthermore, you need large storage facilities for oil that is yet to be exported, especially in the case of, for example, weather conditions that wouldn't allow oil tankers to travel so that the export process can continue to run smoothly. Also, the issue of an increase in production needs to take into consideration quotas set by OPEC.
To what extent privatization of the oil resources, how that impacts the workers, how that impacts the people of Iraq.
الخصخصة على المواطن العراقي هي أكيد تكون في زيادة أسعار المنتوجات النفطية. أما الخصخصة على مستوى أموال النفط، لأن تعرفون أنتم إنه العدد الكبير.
At the level of the Iraqi citizen, privatization had the effect of increasing prices and the costs of petrol-related products. As for the Iraqi worker in the oil sector, first of all, it needs to be clear that a very large portion of Iraq's workforce works in the oil sector. And perhaps we can say that it's not an issue of privatization in the oil sector as much as it is one of foreign investment. And this investment comes with strings attached in the form of the contracts and the concessions. So one of the effects of these is that now there is an 80% quota for Iraqis to work in the oil sector. Before coming here, there was talk of transferring the employer from the oil company of the south to these multinational corporations that are coming in, but it is unclear whether this is indeed being carried out or not. We're worried that if such a transfer happens, Iraqi workers in the oil sector will end up with severance pay at the end of many decades of work instead of pensions.
I just want to branch out for a moment and try to get a handle on the employment situation, since our friend mentioned that there was a cap on 80% of Iraqis, which I assume means bringing in foreign labor. But in general, what is the condition or the circumstances of job creating and the economic plight, if you will, of the Iraqi people?
لا لا هو أكيد يعني بلد مثل العراق يعني المفروض ما تكون فيه بطالة، لكن للأسف الشديد إنه هنالك بطالة كثيرة في العراق.
Country with the oil wealth of Iraq should not have any unemployment, but unfortunately we have a very high unemployment rate in Iraq, and the oil sector is not rising to the challenge of creating jobs for the unemployed in Iraq, and the standard of living for the Iraqi worker is very poor, not just in comparison to other oil-rich countries, but even in comparison to neighboring countries.
I'd like to focus a bit more on the conditions of the oil workers in Iraq, how much money they're making, whether their situation is getting better, and we'll talk a little bit later on about the union problems, but how are the oil workers themselves faring in terms of living standards?
يعني قطاع النفط لم يجري عليه تحسن كبير في موضوع الرواتب بقدر ما أنه هم كل موظفي الدولة يتقاضون نفس الراتب وفق قانون.
There has been very little improvement, if any at all, in the wages of Iraqi workers in the oil sector. Iraq's oil sector is considered part of the public sector, and so Iraqi oil workers are paid an identical wage to any public sector employee, and indeed it's the same law that governs their wages, a law passed in 2008. But there are some specificities to the oil sector beyond that of the public sector at large. For instance, a worker in the oil sector who's been working for 40 years receives a wage of about $1,200 per month. Of course, $1,200 can't go very far. So not only is $1,200 not enough to cover the expenses of a family, the average size of which is 4, 5, or 6 people, but most Iraqi oil workers don't own their own homes, and nor are there any special health arrangements for workers in the oil sector.
How many workers are we talking about in the oil sector?
والله إذا على المنطقة الجنوبية فبيها أكثر من 37 ألف عامل.
The southern sector on its own is around 37,000 workers.
What would you describe as the principal issues that the union is representing its workers on and the obstacles to their realization?
اولا النقابه لها مطالب اساسيه وهي تحسين حال المنتسبيها وكذلك تحاول النقابه قدر الامكان ان تساهم في زياده الانتاج.
The primary demand of the union is to improve the living situation of its members. The union is also involved in trying to increase oil production. An increase in oil production will help in improving the living conditions for Iraqi workers. And a related goal of the union is to work to protect and best invest Iraq's oil wealth. In terms of obstacles, our primary obstacle is the absence of an Iraqi labor law. The absence of such a law, one of its effects is that any union organizer is at any given time subject to prosecution by the state for union activities. So what we really, really need in Iraq and what we've been struggling for many years is a labor law that can protect labor organization, labor organizers, enable us to represent Iraqi workers in their demands. As a result of these years of struggle, there is now finally a proposed bill for a labor law that is before the Iraqi parliament, and we hope that it will pass. Once we have such a law that protects labor organization in addition to protecting Iraqi workers, many of the major obstacles that we're currently facing will melt away because then we will actually be able to legally carry out all of the work that needs to be carried out. In 1987, the Saddam Hussein government passed a decree that banned labor organization and also redefined the public sector employees, who are the majority of Iraqi workers, reclassifying them as service sector employees. And despite the toppling of the Saddam Hussein regime and despite political changes that have happened since 1987, this law is still on the books, is still in effect, even despite our unions being active over the past 12, 13 years.
I just want to make sure that I understand this correctly. Are all unions affected by this law, or is it just the public sector? Are public sector unions allowed to exist? Or is it just that they were restricted in certain ways, like striking?
هو أكيد ممنوع أنه تكون نقابات بالقطاع العام حسب الكتب اللي صدرت من المسؤولين العراقيين بمنع التنظيم النقابي داخل قطاع النفط.
It's a ban on any kind of labor organizing in the public sector, and this has been made actually explicit over and time and again. But we needed such labor organization, and so we've been organizing as workers and as unions and representatives of workers since 2003, despite not being legally protected. And so since 2003, we've organized many demonstrations, pickets, and even tried to organize the collection of union dues, even though the law doesn't protect us in doing these. This is a situation that is general throughout Iraq, in all of the provinces, in Baghdad, and for the past 10 years. In 1987, the same year in which there was a ban on public sector workers organizing, another law, Law Number 52, allowed the creation of unions for workers in the private sector. This was a very calculated move on the part of the regime, with the knowledge that the private sector was both very small, that labor organizing within the private sector was extremely weak, and it was calculated to maintain Iraq's seat in the International Labor Organization.
I assume then that this means that there is a great deal of jeopardy that inures to our guest as a result of being a labor organizer and fighting for the rights of the oil sector workers.
Yes, indeed. I have been charged and sent to court and have had to fight a very long legal battle. Indeed, I'm out on bail right now, bail that's about 10 million Iraqi dinars. Of course, I was found innocent of all charges in the court of first instance, And unfortunately, even though the judge's decision was quite clear that there were no material damages as a result of the labor action that we carried out, the state has insisted on prosecuting me, and now the state has been successful in appealing the initial decision, and now I face the same charges once again. Of course, this is not just my situation. There are many, many Iraqi labor organizers throughout Iraq that have been prosecuted for labor activity, which has been considered either criminal or somehow illegal. This is why I say that the number one priority for us as an Iraqi labor movement is to legalize our movement through the passage of an Iraqi labor law and a law that protects labor organization.
What was this specific instance that brought upon this action by the government in terms of prosecuting you under the labor law? Was there a strike? Was there a series of strikes? And was it just the government that wanted to prosecute you, or did some of the foreign oil companies want this also?
لا لا هي أولا الشركات الأجنبية لست طرف في هذه القضية إنما أنا أحلت المحكمة بتهمة تحريض على الإضراب والتصريح للوسائل الإعلام.
The corporations really are not party to these proceedings. The charges against me were agitation for a strike, in addition to certain statements that were carried by the media both in and outside of Iraq. So the main players in this story is the conflict and the struggle between the Iraqi labor movement, especially in the oil sector, and the Iraqi Ministry of Oil. Where the corporations do come in is that actually the main target of our action was to demand that there be no privatization of the oil sector, and that foreign corporations not be allowed to operate in this sector without an Iraqi law governing oil and gas in the country that would protect these resources and ensure that the revenue from these resources is invested in the interest of the Iraqi people.
You're here, I assume, in part at least, to secure support for your cause. I know that you went to the AFL-CIO convention recently. What kinds of support are you getting within the United States and worldwide?
نعم احنا حقيقة نؤمن بأن التضامن الدولي هو يعني السبيل الوحيد لتطوير علاقات العمل النقابي في العراق مع
Yes, there has been support. You know, we are of the position that solidarity is central to any kind of union work, any kind of labor activism. For us, it is quite central that there be this kind of solidarity between the labor movements of Iraq and the United States. One of the fruits of this visit has been that the AFL-CIO convention issued a resolution specifically supporting the struggle of Iraqi workers. And I don't think you can have any kind of union or labor activism without solidarity and without international solidarity. And it's our position that the U.S. labor movement is of crucial importance both to Iraqi workers and to Arab workers more broadly, both in communicating and representing the street in the United States and the popular opinion and informing it. In addition to the AFL-CIO, it's really important to mention the support we've received from U.S. Labor Against the War, who at very critical junctures and moments in our struggle mobilized letter-writing campaigns and other kinds of support for particularly the cause of both fighting against the persecution of our activists and labor organizers, but also in our struggle to secure a labor law in Iraq. Indeed, I remember at one particularly critical juncture a few years ago, U.S. Labor Against the War managed to collect 37 signatures from U.S. congressmen and women, which was sent to the Iraqi parliament and played a crucial role in moving us a step forward at that time. It's this kind of support that we really need. Our presence at the AFL-CIO convention and our ability to have discussions and conversations and deliver talks to the union reps who were there, we consider to be a major victory for the Iraqi labor movement.
I can't help but ask, as we begin to wind up, as the U.S. is still poised for another intervention, a military strike against Syria, is there any position that the union has or comment that you would like to make around this latest crisis within the Middle East?
نعم نحن يعني الوفود العربية التي تواجدت في مؤتمر الاتحاد.
Yes, actually, and we can tie this to the AFL-CIO convention in the sense that I wasn't the only union leader representing Arab workers at the convention. There were another 5 or 6 union leaders from the Arab world. Together, we tried to push at the convention for a position against any military intervention in Syria. What we were hoping was that the U.S. labor movement, represented by the AFL-CIO, would take a position against any U.S. intervention and to try to put pressure on the U.S. government not to carry out any such intervention, because any such intervention would have a seriously negative effect on the lives of workers in the region, not just in Syria, but in all of the region. Unfortunately, at the convention, there seemed to be another agenda in operation that ended with no official position taken by the convention, even though there was great support amongst the delegates there. However, the statement that we prepared as union representatives from Iraq, Jordan, Palestine, and Morocco is now available in English, and I believe U.S. Labor Against the War may have it on their website, and people can go and see that position that we came to collectively and presented at the convention.
Well, you've been most gracious and candid. Certainly, what I would like to wind up with is, if there is a particular place, is it just U.S. Labor Against the War that we should plug into to determine how to support our friends, or are there other...
لا ليس الطريق الوحيد هو US Labor, بل هنالك أيضا تنسيق وترتيب بين مركز التضامن.
Of course, U.S. Labor Against the War is one of our main partners, but there is also the Solidarity Center of the AFL-CIO. Indeed, it was the Solidarity Center that took it upon itself to organize the workshops about the labor law that took place in Erbil and that were central in getting the labor law ready for presentation before the Iraqi parliament. And of course, we really hope that other unions in the United States, especially those with workers in similar sectors to those in Iraq, would invest some energy into building bridges between the Iraqi workers' movement and the movement here in the United States. We all stand to gain and to benefit from such solidarity and from such relationship.
Well, we fully intend to continue to build bridges. Again, we're very touched and welcome the opportunity to speak with our brother Iraqi worker. And I want to particularly thank Hassan Juma Awal and our excellent translator, Hasim Jamjoon. Thank you very much again for joining us.
You've been listening to an exclusive Building Bridges interview with Hassan Juma Awad, founding member of and president of the Iraqi Federation of Oil Unions.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.